This is a Radio 191 FM podcast. Yes, it is. It's a podcast and you love it.
We have got Nell Thomas, Daniel Bevan and Johnny Marks here from Microsoft Voices who have got some really cool experimental music to talk to me about that I'm kind of struggling to understand and need some clarification on. Hello, guys.
Kia ora.
Thank you guys all for being here. Your project is called Microsoft Voices, and I know you use Apple Mac's text edit software to create multi-layered sort of sounds. And can you explain it to me a bit more?
Yeah, who wants to go?
You pretty much got it. We use text edit word processing program. And we use some basic coding to kind of mess around with the inbuilt voices. So we've got this simple code that we use to play around with the pitch and whether the voices are reading something phonetically, the speed. What am I missing?
Yeah, I mean, maybe go back one step. So basically the basic idea is that we just type stuff into TextEdit and then press play and... I mean, highlight it and then press speak and the computer speaks it. So the three of us have those three things happening at the same time. Yeah. And then as Nell was saying, then we have it started off kind of pretty punk. And then when Johnny came on board, he worked out how to do some real sort of basic but fancy coding that Nell was talking about.
That's right. I forgot it was Johnny who figured that out. Well done, Johnny.
Yeah. And I think, though, that, like, even without the coding, there's lots and lots of textures and things that you can do just by sort of overloading the computer voice with ridiculousness, you know, and it's struggling to pretend like it's reading a text, but it doesn't know that it's not, you know. Yeah.
How did you discover this as your sort of sound niche? How did this come up?
We were doing it this way back.
You did it with Ian Downer first, didn't you?
A friend of ours, me and Nell and Ian, our friend Ian, were flatting together. And, I don't know how, do you remember how it sort of came about now?
Not really. I think we must have just been messing around with our computers one day and just being silly and playing around with the voices.
Yeah, I feel like it's a fairly natural thing to do, I reckon, those sorts of things. You know, you've got a computer and then you can find out that if you highlight a word, the computer says it in a funny computer voice, and then you're like, oh, what else can I get it to say? And then it doesn't take long before you're then going, God, there must be some code where I can adjust this some more.
So do you guys have a history in coding in that computer stuff? Because I know you all have played in a lot of different musical projects. So where did the sort of intersection of computers and music come for you guys?
Absolutely zero interest and experience in coding computers. And this is sort of anti-computer music in a way. This is like kind of using the computer for its most sort of dumb and basic function, rather than like computer music where you're, you know, like got software that analyzes frequencies. This is, you know, like I don't know how to say it really. It's like it's like punk kind of laptop music or something.
And I think that coders would probably, if they saw what we were doing, would go, coding's not the right word. You're just putting in some instructions.
Yeah. It's extremely basic. I don't think it really counts as coding.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, Apple's journey in the accessibility space was that they had these voices and then they realized it was a bit clunky. And so people, if they had a text and they wanted to give it a little bit more of a natural flow, they were having to set some parameters. So again, we're just taking those little parameters that were originally designed just to make a voice sound slightly more natural, and pushing it into an unnatural space. And now one of the problems that we're facing is that, you know, the text-to-speech voices are so automatically natural all of that stuff to make it sound like a human voice is being taken over by very serious code and AI. And so actually, if our operating systems are too modern, the things that we do no longer work.
Yeah, because the three of you, you are, when you're making your music together for this project, you've just got your laptops, right? There's no instruments or anything involved. Wow, it's quite interesting. So you said before when we were off air that you've been doing this for a long time. How has that progression, as all that technology has developed, affected the way you make music and the sort of music that you guys are producing?
Kind of resisting the technological developments as long as we can, and like Johnny says, with the computers that we use, any newer models don't do what we want to do with them. So we've got our really old Mac laptops, which we're clinging to, which are slowly kind of falling to pieces and stopping working in various ways. So we're kind of dying a slow death, really, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's a nicer way to put that. But you guys
We're happy with that.
Yeah. Well, you guys are playing Lines of Flight on Saturday the 18th. Would you like to talk a bit about that gig?
Well, I'm sure your listeners know Lines of Flight, and we've all been, the three of us in different formations, have been down there, you know, several times, and totally love the festival. And Peter Porteous, I mean, he just got in touch and said, what have you got? Do you want to come down? And this particular project have we ever played outside of Wellington?
You've played in Germany, Matt.
Oh, yeah, we have,
not,
yeah.
Not with me.
China. Not with Johnny.
In China, Auckland.
Wow, yeah. Can we elaborate a bit more on that? When were you guys playing in Germany?
Well, we were over touring, so me and Nell and a few others were in our band Orchestra of Spheres, which did some tours over in Europe and in China. So sometimes we did little kind of sideline gigs, I guess. Yeah, and then one of them being in Germany and some, it's like some kind of squat bar or something, eh?
Yeah, it went down like a lead weight. It was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, and then we're in China, and it was for a different thing, but we tried to do a kind of computer talking with, because these computers have Chinese voices, but I don't know if that came across either, actually.
I think I've missed the mark.
But back to Lines of Flight briefly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and so we're playing out in the in Port Chalmers, I think, is where most of the festival is taking place. The Lines of Flight community and the thing that they've built over, what, like 20 years or something, you know, it's incredibly... like a lot of musicians, when they hear that the festival was going, like, I'm sure that Peter gets inundated with requests of like, oh, can I play? Because it's as much a social gathering as it is like an awesome presentation of like where the experimental music scene is at in Aotearoa. But then as practitioners, it's a really great place to catch up with people that you don't necessarily see that much, you know, like with music like this, you can imagine it's hard to tour. You know, so it's a really awesome, it's an awesome few days just to really get a snapshot of like where people are at, what ideas people are exploring.
And you would know quite a bit about the experimental music scene here in Aotearoa because Dan and Johnny, you guys run Pyramid Club, which is an experimental venue in Ponaki in Wellington. How is the experimental music scene evolving in Wellington? And because how long have you guys been running that venue for?
Actually, Nell's heavily involved too. And there's other people involved. You know, it's quite an operation now. I mean, we've been going actually in different names and kind of like with different people sort of taking the lead or whatever, but kind of since about the year 2000 when there was a place called The Space Open in Newtown. So this is a lineage that goes way back, like 25 years. So Pyramid Club's been going 11 years and we had a spot before that for about 3 years. So yeah, it's quite a long time thing. And how's the experimental music scene? I don't know, actually. Doesn't seem super duper like amazingly active at the moment in Wellington. That's my sense. But you know, it's always changing. It only takes one or two people to kind of leave town or move into town, and things shift quite a lot because it's quite a small little scene, you know. So yeah,
there's quite in Wellington. There's quite a lot of energy in terms of public stuff, because I think that's, you know, like. Especially COVID, but also just sort of the ubiquitous nature that people share things online. You know, it's hard to know what people are doing in their own bedrooms, because I think a lot of people are doing stuff and just sharing it online. But in terms of like the live scene, there's a collective called Swamp Soul who have made Pyramid Club a little bit of their home at the moment in terms of younger people doing stuff. And they've got a real passion for making sure that they're putting on shows, that it's not, you know, that they're experiments are being done in real time in front of people, and that bunch of people they've got a whole range of concerns that they're looking at, sort of from people who are looking from a more compositional angle to people who are just sort of like total chance noise, to people who are kind of doing I don't know, like Suicide kind of style monosynths with voices, you know. So but I find it really interesting that they are identifying as a collective and trying to find a way as a group to present what they're doing.
I think that has really picked up. I can think of about three different collectives here in Dunedin and a couple up in Christchurch. That's a similar thing. You sort of have them for each different production style, and it's a way now that people are finding that they're releasing music and that they're organising gigs, and you've got these sort of takeovers happening at festivals like Twisted Frequency that are all done by these collectives. It seems like it is really the sort of, I suppose, the answer to how difficult it is as independent artists to release stuff and to kind of get that sort of funding behind you and everything. Do you think that rings true?
And as a response to sort of, I think, the hyper individualism of like the idea of the influencer as being this kind of this individual identity, and so I feel like the people in Wellington are definitely anti that.
Yeah, I think that rings true a bit for Dunedin as well. Well, we'll probably have to head off soon, but thank you guys so much for coming in and talking to me. And would you like to, is there anyone in Wellington, apart from obviously your very talented selves, that you would like to put the audience here at Radio 1 onto? Someone who perhaps they might not have listened to, might be someone local for you guys. We might not have heard so much down here.
Yeah.
Tough one. You can take your time to think about it. Otherwise, if you'd like to hear Microsoft
voices.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's loads. I'm just sort of wondering what's... I mean, there's a... what I've been listening to a lot is a group from... guys... Name's just gone away. I had a German techno producer who ran a really famous record shop for a long time in Berlin. His name's just gone. But anyway, he's got this group with a bunch of Ghanaian musicians called Indaga Rhythm Force. And that's like, what's that? They're not local by far. They're like opposite to local.
That's okay. No, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Like new stuff that people may not have heard. I don't know. I would. Yeah, I love that group, Indaga Rhythm Force. Yeah, that's awesome.
And I think in terms of stuff that's available online, and hopefully at some point might be able to make it down there. As I say, the Swamp Soul Collective, if they've got a Bandcamp label, Swamp Soul, and so there's a whole bunch of releases on there. And I also think just in terms of that accessibility of what's happening on Bandcamp from Pōneke Skirted Records, our dear friend Kieran Monaghan, Mr. Sterile, and his partner Chrissy, who goes under the name DSLB, they've always been super creative, but they seem to be on quite a, they're having quite a moment at the, hey, they're doing lots of sort of residencies and releasing a whole bunch of stuff and exploring different things that are happening.
Cool. Would you have anything now? Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot. I know heaps of people here. Why can't I think of anybody? Well, someone I saw perform recently for the first time, and I can't remember their actual name, but they went under the name Beatwix.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Are they Wellington based?
Mm. Yeah, Beatwix are great. Yeah.
Pat Krause from Auckland came down recently and played a show at the Pyramid Club, and Beatwix opened for Krause. And I think also Stonehenge Aotearoa, which is Beck Coogan and Gemma Syme, which is like a kind of like a Pōneke and Christchurch duo, one based in Christchurch, one based in Wellington. And so Stonehenge Aotearoa and Beatwix, let's go with that.
Yeah, I think Beatwix might be involved a bit in the palmy scene as well, where there's like some cool stuff happening there. Synthetic Children from Palmy is awesome. And I think Beatwix hangs out with that same crew.
Yeah, no, I've talked to Synthetic Children on here just a couple of weeks ago. They were really cool. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Noel. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Johnny, from Microsoft Voices for coming in here and talking to us at Radio 1. I hope you guys... That's okay. I hope you guys have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
See you next week.
See you next week.
That was a f***ing Radio 1 podcast, mate. There's heaps more at r1.co.nz.